I believe that God has a purpose and a plan for your life, that your life is not to be wasted, but God is going to use you for purposes that are bigger and stronger than what you could ever imagine or fathom.
This is Straight Talk.
This is Mark Jobe, and I want to take a moment today to welcome our new radio listeners. We're receiving emails from people that are joining us, are just starting to listen to this program on a regular basis, and you found out through a friend or just were dialing through some stations and happened to stumble upon it. Well, we welcome you. We're glad that you have joined us. Straight Talk is a program that comes on every Monday through Friday. Our desire is to talk to people straight from the Word of God and go straight to the heart in some practical life-transforming ways. I just want to say that I believe that the Word of God is the inspired, infallible Word, that it doesn't just contain the Word, but it is the Word, that it's not simply a collection of inspirational stories, but it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And if you take the teachings of the Word of God and mix them with faith, something tremendous will happen in your life as you begin to be transformed by the power of God.
Indeed. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. We continue on in our series called Bullseye Living, Staying on Target with God. And Pastor Mark's message today is called, How Do I Know Which Spiritual Leaders to Follow? We'll be in the text of Luke chapter 6. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
We've been talking about bullseye living. Living on target. Some people live their life randomly. They have no purpose and direction in their life. They let life happen to them. And I believe as followers of Jesus Christ and believers in God, that our life cannot be random. Our life needs to be on purpose with direction and clarity. If you're just letting life happen to you, you're not living in the center where God wants you to live, because you need to have a life that has a purpose, an aim, a direction. Some people shoot the arrow and then go and draw a target around the arrow instead of shooting at the middle of where God wants you to be. I believe that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. I believe that God has a center of a will for your life. I believe that God wants to use you, that your life is not to be wasted, but God is going to use you for purposes that are bigger and stronger than what you could ever imagine or fathom. It may not be the purposes that you intended, but I believe that if you follow the leading of God, that there's not a life here that will be wasted if you say, here am I, God, use me, let me live in the center of your will. I'm believing that we're raising a church full of missionaries, so to speak, to our society. That as you leave this place, you go to your workplace, you go to your families, you go to your jobs with the mission to make this place a better place, a different world. I believe that if you're a father here, God has given you a call, and that call is to raise your children in a way where they understand values and respect, where they understand God and faith, that you have a call as a father. And listen to me, men. If right now you are separated or divorced from your wife and you don't have custody of your children, you are still their father. Amen. Let me say that again. You are still their father. That means that you have a financial obligation to help raise those children. Amen? And that means that you still have a relational and spiritual obligation to be in relationship with those children. I don't care who's in custody of those children. You are still the father. And I don't want your kids to grow up thinking, when my parents separated, I never saw my father around. I want you to be in relationship with your father. Listen, if you're a business owner here today, you have a purpose and a plan for your life. And part of that purpose and plan is for the business that you have. And it's not just about making that business successful, although that's part of it. Part of what God wants you to do is to be a fair boss. Hello? Is to treat your employees with respect. Is to talk to them not as lower level individuals, but as people with dignity and value, because you are a Christian and you value everybody that's made in the image of God. Amen? If you are a student here right now, you have a purpose, and your purpose is to finish your school and to do well at your studies. If you're in high school right now, listen, you have no business dropping out of high school. No business. You say, well, Pastor, I'm just going to get a job at 7-Eleven and get my GED later. No, you have no business dropping out of high school. You started it, you finish it. You started it, you finish it. And by the way, I believe that one of the ways that God empowers us is through education. And I believe that part of our call in life is whatever God has placed in front of us right now to do, we need to do it with all our heart, as unto God, and we need to say, God, this is for you. I'm not a quitter, I'm a finisher. Whatever you've entrusted to me, no matter how hard it is, God, this is part of your purpose and plan for my life. Amen? Amen. All right. That's all a freebie, by the way. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. It says in Luke chapter 6, I'm reading out of the New International Version, verse 6. On another Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, referring to Jesus, and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. Now, this word shriveled is also translated in some Bibles, withered. This man had a withered hand. Now, withered means that there used to be life there, but now something has become dysfunctional. Something has lost its life. Something that used to work no longer works. Something that we used to be proud of, we're no longer proud of. Something that we used to have full function of has ceased to become functional. Now, we don't know much about this man and how he received a withered hand. But there's extra biblical writings that indicate that this man was a stone cutter, that he made his livelihood off of cutting stone, and in those days, houses and temples and educational centers were all made out of stone. We know from one of the other gospels that it was his right hand. Now, in the Jewish culture, the right hand was always used as the hand of blessing. It was your right hand that you used to greet people with. The scripture refers to the right hand of blessing. If you were a father and you were to bestow blessing upon your firstborn child, it was your right hand that you would use, and you would place it upon their head and you would bless them. In fact, in the Eastern culture, the left hand was used for less than seemly purposes. Your left hand was your toiletry hand. I'm not going to go further than that, but you can imagine. So to greet someone with your left hand was sort of an insult. When you greeted them with your right hand. The right hand was the symbol of power, the symbol of blessing, the symbol. So this man had lost the ability to bless. He had lost the ability to relate. He had lost the ability to work. He had lost the ability to provide for a healthy home for his family and for his children and for his wife. He had lost his dignity. And the Bible says that when Jesus walked into the synagogue, there was a man with a withered hand. Now, verse 7 says the Pharisees, are you familiar with the Pharisees? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Now, the Pharisees were a religious sect of people. There was about 6,000 of them that lived in Jerusalem. They wore long robes. They studied ancient scripture, they loved to sit in places of prominence, and their main goal in life was to prove how religious they were. They loved to pray in public, but not in private. They loved to look down at people that they considered less righteous than them and point their fingers at them and accuse them and judge them. They were the people that were most against Jesus. It's interesting that sometimes the most religious people can be the people that are most against the real, authentic followers of Jesus. Let me just say this. Religious people, just because you're religious does not mean that you're very Jesus-like. In fact, you can be very religious and very far from God. How many of you know that? Just because you're religious doesn't make you spiritual. Just because you know the religious culture, sometimes your religious background has made you judgmental. You know the prayers, but you don't know how to pray. You know where to sit, but you don't know where to stand before God. You know scripture, but you don't apply scripture. You know the rituals, but your heart is far from God. Because religion in and of itself does not make you closer to God. In fact, let me tell you this. My goal for this church is to not make you more religious. Some of you say, well, Pastor, I'm not very religious to begin with. I thought I was coming to church to be more religious. No, I don't want you to be more religious. We have enough very religious people in the world. But I want to make you more spiritual. I want to make you more in love with Jesus and a pure and real relationship with God. Not more religious in the sense that you understand religious culture, but more spiritual in the sense that you are more real about your walk with God. That you want to live out your Christianity outside of the four walls of this temple, and you want to live it out in your family and in your job and in your education and live it out in your driving. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm pointing at me when I say that. And so I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. Number one, the journey towards wholeness requires us to step out of our comfort zone towards the God zone. The Pharisees were arguing about whether Jesus should heal on the Sabbath day. You see, the Sabbath was supposed to be a day of rest, a day where you didn't work. And so the Pharisees viewed even healing as work. If someone got hurt on the Sabbath, you could clean the wound, but you couldn't put ointment on the wound because that would be considered work as healing.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called How Do I Know Which Spiritual Leaders to Follow? It's from our series called Bullseye Living, Staying on Target with God. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Luke chapter 6, and our message is entitled, How Do I Know Which Spiritual Leaders to Follow?
And so here's a man. Oh, religious people, sometimes we can totally miss the mark. Here's a man whose right hand is withered. He's lost his ability to provide, bless, dignity. And all that the Pharisees could argue about is whether it's right for Jesus to heal on the Sabbath or not. Sometimes our religious mindset causes us to completely not consider what God is doing and miss the mark. I hope that this church never gets so religious that we miss the mark of who God brings in this place and through these doors. Amen? Because I pray that God will bring in these doors people of all kinds, of every neighborhood, every type. And if someone walks in these doors that is in desperate need of God, and we get too religious, it could be easy for us to look down at people that really need God. If someone walks through these doors and they've been partying all night before, and they walk in and they still have a hangover breath. I've talked to some on Sundays who had hangover breath. I almost get high just smelling their breath. And they have that glazed look on their face like someone that hasn't slept because they're going through such a turmoil in life, or they're going through such a hard time because their wife has just left them, or their teenage son is out there somewhere, and they're desperate and they don't know what to do, and their life is out of control, and someone invited them to church and they walk in this place, and maybe they don't look like they're dressed right, and maybe they smell a little bit like alcohol from the night before, and maybe they're not doing all that well, and you look down at your nose at them because you think, aha, this person, look at this sinner. Then, my friend, you have just become too religious for Jesus. Because the Jesus that I know doesn't move over two seats. The Jesus I know puts his arm around this person and says, thank God that they're here this morning because they really need Jesus. In fact, I don't remember when Roger used to come to church. He used to come to IIT, and he would show up, and I hadn't seen Roger for a while, but every time he showed up, I'm serious, he had a little alcohol in his breath, and he was saying, I really need to change, Pastor, you pray for me. And I'm saying, Roger, why do you always come when you're half drunk and desperate? And he would show up those ways. But we loved him, prayed for him, and there came a time in his life where he went to an men's encounter retreat. Yeah. He went to a men's encounter retreat, and one of his group leaders came up to me and said, hey, we got a problem in our group. I said, what's the problem? He said, we get this guy in the group. He knows he needs to give over to God, but he doesn't want to change. We're telling him he's got drugs at his house. He needs to get rid of them. He's saying, well, I'm not sure I want to totally get rid of them. I want to follow God, but don't want to get rid of them. What should we do? We said, we got to lay hands on that brother and pray for that brother. Let me tell you. God got a hold of his life, so Roger got rid of all the drugs that he ever had in his house. He gave his life over to Jesus. He got a decent, righteous, good job. Started taking care of his wife. Starts raising his family right. Now he leads a couples group, mentoring other couples in Jesus, helping other couples out. Hey, that is life transformation. Thank God that when he walked in church on Sunday morning, the ushers didn't stop him and say, you know what, you're not dressed right. If we do a breath analysis on you, you wouldn't be able to walk in this place. Thank God that people loved him and put their arms around him and said, there's hope for your life. You can change. Thank God for that. This man had a withered hand. And the religious people rejected this man, but not Jesus. In fact, the Bible says that they were looking at Jesus to accuse him and watching him to see how he would deal with this man. In verse 8, it says, but Jesus knew what they were thinking. I love that about Jesus. He knows what we're thinking. You may be sitting here in the pew thinking, that guy. And you can smile at me, and I can think, man, they're my friend. And you can think, that guy, if I just knew where his car was, I'd slash his tires. I don't know what you're thinking. But the thing about Jesus is that he knows exactly what you're thinking right now. And you can never pull a fast one on Jesus because he knows your heart. So you might as well not try to pretend, because he already knows where you're at and what's going on in your life. And it says that Jesus knew exactly what they were thinking. So here's what Jesus did. Look what it says. Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the shriveled hand, get up and stand in front of everyone. Now, have you ever had something in your life that was shriveled? I believe we all have shriveled areas of our life. A shriveled area of our life represents something that embarrasses us. Something from our past that we're ashamed of. Something that used to work, but it doesn't work anymore. Something that we don't want people to notice about us. It's something that on our job application we don't want to mention. Something that we hope people don't find out about us when we meet them because it represents a part of our life that shriveled. It may be your private struggle with depression. It may be the fact that as a young woman, you struggle with bulimia. And you hope no one finds out of your struggle that you have to go to that toilet and throw up because you're so conscious about how people see you and your weight. Maybe you're here today and you have a couple failed marriages in your past. And you're ashamed of how it worked out and how you weren't able to keep it together. Maybe you have a tattoo on a part of your body that you just don't want people to see because it represents a part of you when you were just wild and out there. We all have shriveled parts of our life. Maybe you went bankrupt at one time because you couldn't manage your finance. Maybe you're a closet alcoholic and it's a shriveled part of your life that doesn't work. We all have areas in our life that are shriveled, areas in our life that embarrass us, areas in our life that we don't want people to look at because if they see it, we think they may reject us. It represents shame. It represents that part of our life that no longer functions, no longer works, no longer is a source of life. And here's what I believe. I believe that if God is going to heal those areas, the first thing that Jesus asked this man to do is he asked this man to stand in front of everybody. Now, if you've ever had one of those areas in your life, the first thing you think is everybody is what? Staring. Everybody's staring. Come on, you've had those days, right? Women? You get up in the morning, you say, oh no, here, right here on my forehead. A big blemish. You cover it up, you try to make it up. And when you talk to people, you feel like, I know, they're like looking right at it. And they may even not notice, but you become very self-conscious about it. Here this man with his shriveled hand stands up. Jesus says, don't hide in the crowd. Stand in front of everybody. So here he is in a religious environment where people are judging him, where the Pharisees believe that anything wrong in your life is as a result of the sin, your sin or the sins of your parents. So this man stands in front of the crowd with the shriveled hand. Listen, if God is ever going to bring healing to your life, healing to your past, it requires us to step out of our comfort zone and into the God zone. God says, step out, stand up in front. And sometimes, if you have an issue in your life, let me tell you this, you will never solve the withered issues in your life unless you're willing to step out of your comfort zone and into the God zone. Some of you want to change, but you don't want to stand up. You want to change, but you don't want the spotlight on it. You want to change, but you don't want to talk about it. You want healing, but you never want to go to the hard places of your life and talk about it. Jesus told this man to stand up in front of everybody, and then look what happens. The second thing I want you to write down if you're taking notes this morning is this. By the way, this step would expose his deformity. It would make him risk rejection and judgment. It would require him to trust Jesus without fully knowing the outcome.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe with the second half of his message entitled, How Do I Know Which Spiritual Leaders to Follow? It's part of our current series called Bullseye Living, Staying on Target with God. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's Pastor Mark Jobe, JOBE.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.